his experience was he was a podcaster. What went through your mind?
Well, come on now. He was a great hitter, right? And comes from a wonderful baseball lineage. I was stunned, to be honest with you, because as the Rangers were heading into this chapter, it was pretty clear they were going to have to make a change. And you figure it would be a dramatic change. But you also had to ask yourself, like, well, who's available? Who are you going to just pluck out of the ether to suddenly be a hitting coach with a certain level of credibility for this team? Because it's a very veteran-laden team. And when they gave us the name Brett Boone, I just about fell out. I mean, I couldn't believe it because literally, I don't know, 3 days prior, we were talking on the air about this hitting situation. And we were talking about the Seattle Mariners and Edgar Martinez and what he's done there. And we thought, well, isn't that interesting, right? If you could find that kind of guy, that would be a big lift. My partner, Mike Bassick, just said kind of out of the blue, so I'll tell you, one of the toughest hitters I ever had to face, especially with two strikes, was Brett Boone. It's like the way he would climb up on top of the plate, shorten up a little bit, and just battle with you. Like, he was a really, really tough out. And he, like, personifies exactly what we're talking about this Rangers team needing. I mean, you cannot foreshadow that any better than the way Bassick did. I couldn't believe it. I wondered at that point, once we heard the news, like, did Mike know something? Did he know that we were going to get Booney? He's been great. He's been a perfect fit for this situation and this team. I loved him as a player. His dad was one of those guys as a kid. You know, if I got a Bob Boone card, I thought that was just cool AF, as the kids say, because I was a catcher as a little guy in Little League, and I thought Bob Boone was awesome, and got to meet him many, many years ago when he was working with the Nationals and I was traveling the National League circuit. So, I was thrilled to death to see Booney get that call, and I think it's proven out to be a really good fit.
Well, Jared, let's backtrack the time then, because when he got the call, Bassick might have beat Young to find Boone, because it was at a USC baseball game, mm-hmm, where all this came together. So if Mike Bassick has lottery numbers, we need to go get those, because he's way out in front of this stuff.
Yeah, so what you guys don't realize about Dave and Mike on the TV call, this is kind of like the baseball Illuminati. They're pressing buttons. They got these little figurines. They're moving things around. But Dave's right. Like, it, because I remember listening to that conversation, it was obviously an interesting turnaround for the Mariners, the way they went from being a team that had some talent offensively, but they just couldn't quite figure it out, to all of a sudden, under the Dan Wilson regime, with some of the changes with Edgar, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say totally did a 180 with their identity, but they became a really good offensive team. And at that point, I think, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, Cal Raleigh was kicking our ass, but we didn't realize Cal Raleigh was going to have this type of a season. And the Mariners were just this home run hitting team that all of a sudden was doing some of the things offensively that paired with their pitching. It was like, wow, oh my gosh. And what can the Rangers take from that? And that was really the impetus of y'all's conversation. And lo and behold, maybe people were listening.
Oh, 100%. All right, let's talk a little bit about what he represents as well. And again, I Brett's not here, so I don't have to be nice to him, but there's a certain aspect that we're starting to see in the game. And I think it's been personified in Texas with your general manager, with Boach, of respecting the number part of the game, because you'd be foolish not to be able to take all that information, but actually having real baseball men there balancing that out. And we're starting to see that across baseball. More people are looking what the Rangers have done, and we all know it's copycat. So Dave, tell me about just that grit that Brett brings that might be different than you see in other dugouts.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Rich, you are seeing it, right? More and more teams are having the conversation, if not making these types of moves. And the Rangers, to some degree, were sort of copying what the Seattle Mariners had done. And I think we're going to see more of this because I think it's really good for the game to have baseball guys down there who can relate to the players. And when you talk about the grit of Brett Boone, that's one thing. As a player, there's no doubt, right? He was a hard-nosed, tough player. As a coach, it's interesting because he's kind of had to access this other part of his personality, which is very much there. But it's this more compassionate and empathetic side of him. He spends most of his time, I was just talking to him the other day about this, conversations he has with guys, more like, how's the family? How are you doing? What's going on off the field? And how are you feeling when you're getting here to the ballpark? And so he's working a lot of that angle. You know, that's a manager's job to a large extent as well. But I think as a hitting coach, he's just trying to find the human inside there, connect with them in a way that can engender a little trust in that he does know what he's talking about. He does care for you and he wants the best for you. And so a lot of what he does is just talking about the game, talking about that pitcher, not in terms of spin rates or even, you know, usage of various pitches, but more like just look how he's trying to get people out here. What are we seeing today? Is the fastball playing? Is a slider playing? Is he scared to throw it in certain counts? Let's pay attention to that during the game, because that will give us clues when we get up there and give us maybe a slight tweak on our approach. So I really think that's been the big part of what he does. And guys love him. And, you know, anybody who knows Boone knows that that's what he loves. He loves to talk. He loves to listen. He loves to have conversations about baseball. And so it's kind of a perfect fit. And you can't argue with the numbers. The Rangers' turnaround has been pretty distinct since he's joined this team.
Jared, you've heard this. I think he shared this with you, that the first thing you notice is the guys were sitting there and they were looking at screens, or they were sitting there doing whatever they're doing. And you saw this on television. When I watched the broadcast, guys were sitting in the dugout, maybe leaning on the rail, but not watching the game. And the first thing he said, Jared, was, hey, boys, let's watch the game and see what's going on. And it was almost like a light went off in people's head, like, wait a minute, I want to see how he's approaching this hitter, that hitter. I might see this kind of stuff. I think it was interesting watching the team locking back in, because it's so foreign of a concept for people that were so and this is not a knock on anybody at the Rangers, but throughout baseball, guys, we know we're so locked into spin rate and launch angle and exit velo that sometimes we forget the Bull Durham part of it. It's a simple game, really. Throw the ball, you catch the ball.
Yeah. No, and you know, I think Dave nailed that part of it, too. They have these iPads in the dugout, right? And so a lot of the hitters, they go, they have their bat, they go back to the dugout, and they're just buried into the iPad studying, you know, the mechanics of their swing, or maybe where that pitch was that they thought was a ball, or maybe the pitch they swung at, whatever it is that they can glean from that iPad, which that stuff's valuable, right? But I do think there is something, without ever having played Major League Baseball growing up, I used to hear, and I know that this is probably the same for Dave and for you, Rich, you'd hear players talk about just watching the game. And you know, maybe you'd catch an interview of some hitter in the 90s, you know, I don't know, Ken Griffey Jr., and, you know, some big at bat or home run, and talked about, oh, I noticed how Jeff Fassero was pitching blah, 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 or I picked this up, or like just some of the little nuances. And I also think that, you know, just like in anything, if you're locked into something, if you're more engaged, it's probably going to serve you well. That's not to say the iPad's not valuable. It's not to say, like you mentioned, Rich, the data is not valuable. I also think, you know, two things about Boone. One, Dave talked about the relationships. I know there were players when the Rangers hired Brett Boone who were like, huh? You know, and they were skeptical. And honestly, and maybe this is just the world we live in, but for some of these guys, they don't even, when they hear the name Brett Boone, it doesn't register to them that this is a guy who at one point was one of the best hitters in baseball. They hear the name. They maybe weren't as familiar with the resume. And for the ones who were familiar, what you said earlier, he does a podcast. That's what qualifies him. But those same guys will tell you right now, to Dave's point, they love the guy because of what Dave talked about. And Brett has not come in here and been well, in my day, this is how we did it, right? It's, hey, these were things that worked for me. Have you considered them? It's not, this is what works because it worked back in 2001. And I think the guys appreciate that because no one likes hearing the, well, you know, my generation's better than yours. They don't give a crap about that. But the other thing is you no longer have a hitting coach. You've got a hitting staff. You've got a pitching staff. You've got a this, that. It's not just one guy. And, you know, the Rangers hitting staff prior to the arrival of Brett Boone, all really talented. Steph Connor and Jeffson Vili, who are still here. And I think Brett would be the first to tell you that those guys have been great to work with. Donnie Ecker, who Brett replaced, helped the Rangers win a World Series, right? But I think the skill sets overlapped a lot. And I think what Brett brought was a skill set that was complementary to what those guys already had. And for a struggling offense at the time, way below what even the 50th percentile outcomes for these guys would suggest, I think just trying something different probably was going to be advantageous. And I think Brett, along with Justin and Seth, have all kind of come together to form a, you know, a hitting team that has helped these guys. And Brett might not reach everyone and Justin might not reach everyone, but together, I think they reach the group really well. And I think it's paid off.
Come on, Dave. It was pretty cool that I got to bust his chops when they were describing him. Rangers hire Aaron Boone's older brother, former podcaster, takes a big league job. Next major leaguer. And I was busting his chops all along. You go, oh, I guess all you need is a podcast. Maybe I'm going to get a job as a hitting coach in baseball. Shut up, Herrera. But it was kind of fun watching him reintroduce himself into the game. And I didn't get a chance to see you guys, but I went to the games in Washington and just watched him interact. And I thought it's interesting. Both of you've talked about this, that he's like a mentor. He's, hey, what can I do? And a mirror and a sponge. And you look at that. Those are one of the things that I know you guys will cover on the broadcast, but fans might not understand those little nuances. Like I always use the word scuffling. And fans would get mad, Jared. Oh, what do you know? That guy stinks. No, he's scuffling right now. He's trying as hard as he can, but honestly, he's trying too hard. Maybe he just needs a break. And Jared, talk about this because you're around there. You see it on a daily basis, how hard these guys work. And sometimes maybe it's taking your foot off the pedal for just a minute. We'll have some success.
Yeah. You know, paralysis by analysis, whatever you, however you want to characterize it. I mean, these guys were not, and I get it, when a guy strikes out and he's hitting 196 and he walks back with a stoic expression, you know, fans want guys throwing bats, breaking bats, you know, slamming a bat against the TV monitor in a dugout or, you know, things like that. But these guys are busting their tail, and they knew it, right, in April and May when this team was giving up 2-3 runs a game, but they couldn't, you know, take advantage of that because the bats weren't performing. They knew it. They understood. You know, we talked about, I think, on air and off, you know, sometimes it feels like in 2025, in this era of hitting, and I love the numbers, right? I'm a big numbers guy, but I'm the first to say that, you know, it can't just be the numbers. It can't, you know, it shouldn't be a calculus class, right? When you're in the box, you don't have the ability to solve an equation. You've got to go up there and you got a millisecond to react to a guy who's got a 98 mile an hour fastball with a 92 mile an hour slider. You can't, and it just felt like you'd see guys who they would get their pitch, right? The pitch that you would think maybe they'd be looking for in a 3-1 count, the fastball down the middle, and they just couldn't quite pull the trigger. And it just seemed like there was some sort of a block. Whereas I don't know that I felt that way as consistently over the last couple months. It just seems like these guys are a lot more free when they're in the box, and it's not perfect, right? You know, the guys on the mound are pretty good too. And this team hasn't figured everything out offensively, but they've definitely taken steps in the right direction. And you're not scratching your head as much like, gosh, why was this guy just not driving that pitch, you know, when he should be looking for that exact pitch in that exact situation, right, Dave? I mean, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, no, and for the record, when it comes to throwing bats, smashing TVs, flinging the helmet, we really love that on TV. More of that, please. You know, it's great drama. Yeah, I think that is a big part of it, man. Think long, think wrong. And, you know, Rich, your question in there, there was this idea of maybe pulling back a little bit, maybe taking the foot off the gas some. And I think that is a huge, huge piece of this, right? And I get it. It's just like youth sports, right? If you have a child, you feel incredible pressure to have that child be getting lessons and doing extra work on the side and all stuff. Otherwise, little Johnny or little Susie is going to get passed up by everybody else who is doing that. And unfortunately, there's some truth there, right? I mean, it is kind of hard to keep up. And I think in our business, these guys take so many swings every day. And one of the things I've wondered is when a guy's scuffling, as you say, Rich, and he goes in there and he's taking extra swings and doing extra work off the tee, is he just grooving more bad habits? Like, is this actually productive time? You might just be really solidifying exactly what's screwing you up. So, like, take a break. Like, go to the amusement park. Go to the swimming pool. Like, do something else. Play pickleball. Like, just get a break. And I think there's a cry from coaches and managers around baseball largely to that extent. Like, guys, stop. 300 swings a day is not going to make you better. It's just going to make you more susceptible to injury. So I think we've seen a little bit of that. I think the Rangers have had guys who have pulled back a little bit, guys who were just fanatical about getting swings in all the time, every waking moment. You know, sometimes less is more. So, I think that's a big, big part of where a lot of this is going or needs to go, perhaps. Just let guys be more athletic. Embrace the fact that you are extraordinarily talented, and that's how you got here. And let's tap into that a little bit.